Hit it.
1, 2, 3, 4. What? Zach, are you supposed to be the drums?
I don't know. I'm trying to be the deepest voice here.
You were you were the didgeridoo of that one. As a way to further introduce ourselves.
All right.
We wanted to do something with what are our favorite albums that we love, that we grew up with. Did you guys have trouble with this one?
I did, a little. Yeah. I wasn't sure what kind of, like, do you want, like, favorite album that we grew up with, favorite album of all time, album of this week?
Yeah, we can do a little bit of all of that, all right. I think.
Do your favorite albums change depending on your mood?
Yes, absolutely.
I think my favorite songs change more than... My favorite album, I think, has remained steady throughout.
Yeah.
Do you find that yours changes?
Yeah. I find that, you know, I have a favorite album for a while, and then I kind of get sick of it after playing it so many times, that I move on to a new album, and that becomes my favorite album.
I think that I usually have, like... I have, like, three favorite albums that I just kind of rotate.
Two to three?
Between. Yeah, something like that. Depending on my mood. But I always go back to some. Like, I've never had a favorite album that later I hated or something.
I don't think I've had that either. I think once it reached top album status, it's always been at least, like, in my top rotation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
All right, so let's start it off. Justin?
Yes. I did have a lot of trouble with this one because there are, you know, literally
5, 6 Blink-182 albums.
5, 6 Blink-182 albums to choose from. I just didn't know which one to pick. No, I went with an album called Jimmy Eat World by Jimmy Eat World. It was originally going to be called Bleed American, nice. But it came out in 2001. So they thought that maybe after the 9/11 stuff, that Bleed American wasn't a very appropriate title for their album, or they thought maybe they'd have trouble selling it or something.
That's probably a good call.
So they renamed it Jimmy Eat World, but it's got everything. It's got everything 13-year-old Justin wanted. It's got your blitzing punk songs, including the first song, which is called Bleed American.
I know that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Is it on the compilation that you gave me?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
But it's really good. And then it has a lot of really fun pop songs with more hooks than a Bass Pro Shop. I'm telling you. They've got The Middle, The Authority song.
The Middle's on their first album, on this album?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So this is their breakthrough album. It's just got something for everybody. This is The Authority song. It's
different
so
than the Green Day Authority.
Fucking catchy.
That it's not quite the Green Day Authority.
I don't know. Wait for the vocals kick in. Zach was just shaking his head.
The guy that sings for them, you just saw him recently?
Yeah.
Did he perform any songs from this album? Other than The Middle?
You know, I don't think he even played did he play The Middle? Maybe he did. I think that might be the only one. But this is my favorite ones. It also has a lot of really good sort of modern emo songs. My Sundown is a really good one. Hear You Me. So it's like some really good, really great lyrics in it.
What album is this? Is this their second album?
This is their third.
The third. Album. How many do they have now?
7.
So where does it stand in the Jimmy Eat World history? Like, what are...
What do you mean?
Like
what?
It was a breakthrough, but did they ever reach any higher chart position than this album?
No, this was the highest for them. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily their best album, but it's
your favorite.
But one that means a lot to me. And there's a Hear You Me is a song about a friend of theirs that died, and there's a lyric at the sort of toward the tail end of the song. It's this is a song for a heart so big that God wouldn't let it live. And it was just, I don't know, it really resonated with me. It's a real great song.
But no, it's got everything. It's got everything I wanted. The punk, the pop, and the emo. And it was right in my fucking
PPE.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Then there's a ton of other great Jimmy Eat World ones. There's really good Blink-182 ones that I wanted to say, but that's, I think, the one that really stood out to me.
Wow, that's I didn't see that coming.
What do you think I was gonna pick? Enema of the State?
Probably. Well, I don't know, something.
Because I thought about that, but then it's so one-dimensional. It's, you know, they're all, it's all that very specific jock, punk, pop kind of sound. And
this one has more layers.
This one
to
has
it.
A lot of different stuff going on.
Interesting.
You should check it out. I highly suggest it.
I've checked out some of those songs.
Jimmy Eat World.
From the compilation. from the aforementioned compilation.
It was great. What was yours?
Me?
Yeah.
My favorite all time. Has been Abbey Road for like a really long time.
Abbey Road? That's the one you're going with?
That's the one I'm going with.
What was the first time you heard Abbey Road?
I was in my late 20s. I knew songs from it, but I did not know like all that it encompassed. So, but here you go.
Here it is.
Abbey Road.
Boop.
Remastered in all its glory. It's like, it's the last Beatles album they recorded.
They have a really good song on this that I really like. It's one that starts out like really dark. Here it is. She's So Heavy is that song.
She's So Heavy.
This song is rad.
That's a John Lennon song.
Is it?
One of the great things about this, it has like two of the best George Harrison songs ever. Something.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Here Comes the Sun.
I didn't know that was a Harrison song.
Yep, both of them are Harrison songs.
I totally thought it was McCartney wrote it.
Yep.
But he sings it.
Harrison sings it? Yes.
Okay. I have so much to learn about the Beatles. No, this is a great album.
And then pretty much I think that ends side A, and side B is like a suite. So it has like a bunch of like things that they had laying around that they compiled together to, and they tied it all together. It's one big song, one long-ass song, basically. It's several songs put into one. And it ends, the last song is The End.
Mm-hmm.
The last song. And there's an extra little bonus track, Her Majesty, which is like just a little quick blur that they do at the very end. See if we can.
That's the. Yeah. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have. Oh, yeah.
And that's all it is. And,
I like it. It's a delightful little ditty.
It's a delightful little ditty. It's just Paul on the guitar. And So it's definitely my favorite album of all time.
Well, I like it. That's a really great one. It's the only one that I own on your recommendation. And I listened to it like 50 times. It's real good. Yep. I haven't heard it in a while, but I'll have to go back and listen to it again.
Yeah, definitely my favorite. The last two songs from You Never Give Me Your Money through Golden Slumbers through the end. Paul McCartney does in concert to end every show.
What are your favorite Beatles albums? Like, starting with the least favorite up to your favorite. Jesus, do you have any?
My least favorite?
Yeah. What's your least favorite?
Through no fault of their own, probably Yellow Submarine.
Oh, okay.
Is my least favorite. Then
it's not their fault they were high.
It's not their fault they were weird. And
they gotta try new things.
They gotta try, yeah. I mean, yeah, they tried true. A bunch of different things, and you know, Magical Mystery Tour is not my favorite. I guess maybe we go my favorite to not favorite. Abbey Road is definitely my favorite, and then it's a close second is Revolver or Rubber Soul. They always fight it out.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah, Sgt. Pepper, maybe third, and then maybe the White Album. Sgt. Pepper, it just reminds me of when I got out of school and I started working.
Those memories that are kind of attached to it.
Yeah, because I was really, really into the Beatles back then.
as if I'm not now, but like really.
It's weird that Abbey Road to me is your favorite album because you like so many other bands, like so many metal bands and kind of the hard rock stuff.
I do. And, you know, of that, I also have favorite albums from those, but like one of my very favorite albums is Ride the Lightning. It just reminds me of my first band.
It's Metallica?
Yeah, Metallica. So, I mean, things like that. It's, you know, there's different things. I guess different stages of Michael have different
albums. I get it.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through
things.
Everyone matures. I mean, not me, but everyone else does, usually.
Yeah, everybody grows up.
Zach, did you have any trouble with this one? With figuring out like what your favorite album was?
No, I didn't have trouble. I was just thinking back through the years of how my favorite album has changed based on what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
You know, when I first started listening to music, I was listening to Dookie over and over and over again.
Dookie was great.
Which is a great album, yeah.
And I can't tell you the last time I listened to that entire album.
It's because I think on guitar they only use 3 strings for the entire album. Like, they never...
I love that album, but I think maybe one of the reasons... Doesn't it seem like they overplayed a lot of the songs so much?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, When I Come Around, Walking...
Walking
Contradiction was on the other.
No, what is
Brain Stew.
Brain Stew.
She. Although I really like She. That's one of my favorites.
Was Brain Stew on?
No, Brain Stew's not.
I'm Retarded.
Yeah. Like I said, it's been a long time since I listened to the album all the way through.
Yeah. So that one's not your favorite.
Basket Case.
They played.
That was their big one.
The hell out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But, you know. What tends to be my favorite album ends up being kind of a live album by a band. So, like, after they put out that Bullet in a Bible by Green Day was a favorite of mine because it took, like, a lot of their hits.
That was right after played it live. American Idiot, right?
Yes. I think currently my favorite album is by Shinedown. And it's called Somewhere in the Stratosphere. And it's a 2-disc concert piece. The first disc is where they strip it down and do it acoustic and just find that amazing how they kind of re-engineer their songs to do it acoustically. And the guy, I like the lead singer's voice.
What's your favorite song on there? Or what's a good song? We'll play a second of it. What's a big Shinedown song that I would know?
I think the most popular one that they play is Simple Man because it's a cover of Skinner.
Save Me, I thought was really big too. I remember covering
Second Chance was their biggest hit. And
Second Chance. Oh, okay. Yeah. I know these guys.
But on the album, the most impressive song, if you can go back, is when they do this song.
Have you ever seen Shinedown live?
Yes, I have.
Were they down here at the, what are they called?
No, I saw them back in Virginia Beach when they were doing what they called their Lunatic Luau, and they had like 20 bands, and they were one of the beginning acts.
Oh, really?
Oh, so they were just
starting. And I went.
What year was
this? I went earlier in the day just because I wanted to go see them, knowing they just came out.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 2004, 2005.
Oh, okay. This is before they broke big or something?
Yeah, it was shortly after their first album.
I'm totally on board with the live stuff. I really like, there's a certain authenticity when you have a live album that you get to actually...
Yeah. I also, you know, if they do the sound for the audience, with, like, just hearing their involvement, it's like you kind of are there almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There it is. But for this song...
He's for real.
Like, they strip that down and do it acoustic compared to the live version. It's such a big change
for them to really do that.
So... Found that very impressive.
I like the acoustic version a lot better. That is the acoustic version. Whoa.
It's cool when bands can do that.
So they did, a whole concert in their home. I think their hometown, just to do an acoustic set, which was...
It shows a lot of talents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finding I'm liking more like stripped down music.
Get back to the... Back to the meat, man.
Yeah. You know, not that over-processed stuff that's on the radio now.
Yeah.
You know?
As soon as I hear it, like, a synthy sound, I just immediately might... I kind of shut down a little bit on the song. I don't know if you guys are saying... Are you... Not at all? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't listen to a lot of newer stuff, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Every once in a while, something will come through my periphery, but...
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I heard Imagine Dragons...
Yeah.
And they put out a new single, Shot, but I heard the acoustic version, and I can't listen to the regular version because it's so synthesized and pop. But that's what you have to do now to put out music. But they actually can sing and play instruments. It sounds way better than their album stuff.
Because people have a hard time getting into, like, real music. Like, you know, like, stripped down music. They want it overprocessed, I guess.
And that's not to say, like, some of my favorite songs are ones that are fine-tuned in a studio. You know what I mean?
Like All the Single Ladies?
All the Single Ladies is so perfectly... No. I like it when... I like when you can tell that, that there's a certain sound that the studio can put into a song, even if it's, you know, processed, but I like a finely tuned song.
I think what it lacks, I feel like, especially on the rock side, is that with Pro Tools and stuff, if you miss something, you can just fix it like right there.
Yeah,
you lose something. Like if you some of the older songs, they would just do one take,
mm-hmm.
or everybody in the same studio, even if there was like a tiny mistake, it would maybe just stay there. But it was kind of cool just to have a little. It's just because it has the feel of.
That's why I kind of like listening to some live albums, because if you can actually play live, that gives you more credibility in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Exactly. So maybe the live albums are worth it, unless it's a live one by Kiss. And it's not like, you know.
Yeah, a live by Kiss.
People don't go to the studio and fix them. I would much rather hear a live album that has, like, maybe a few errors. You know, because it enhances the live experience. It makes me feel like I'm there. You know, rather than going over and re-recording guitar tracks over it or drums or whatever.
Right. I totally agree with you. Can you imagine, you said, like, earlier, you know, back in the day, you had to do one take. Can you imagine trying to record some of those Beach Boys songs?
Yeah, right.
They were just like fucking 50 layers of vocals on top of each other.
Yeah, because they had, maybe they had like a 16 track. How do you fit all those things?
That's amazing.
I have a friend that used to do like boy band type music.
Yeah.
And they would first take a beat, then they'd do some songs, and then they'd listen back to it and say, okay, this spot's kind of got nothing going on here, so let's add some either just some kind of
something
noise.
To keep it.
So even if it's just an hey kind of thing,
just to keep it going,
just to have something to fill the void. And I'm like,
You
don't always need that.
Is that because you think we don't have enough attention span that we need something constantly bombarding us?
Well, you want it to be fluid. I don't know.
No, but I agree with Zach. I think I would rather skip the A if you can give me like a good,
but,
you know, let it breathe.
Let it breathe, damn it.
Right, it just seems like everything has to be, there has to be some lyric or something going on throughout the entire 3 to 4 minutes of a song.
Right, that's too much.
3 to 4 minutes of beatboxing?
And I'm just thinking, like, if you listen to Joe Walsh play one of his songs and he has 3 or 4 minutes with just him playing the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, okay, I got a few voices. I got a few,
bars that are free. That he doesn't, nothing added to it, extra.
That's all.
Oh, I got this, and, well, now I'm just going to play my guitar for a few minutes, and then we'll kick it back into the song. We'll do one more, and then call it a song.
Yeah. But you're at 8 minutes. That's
I'm good. I like my guitar playing.
Well, yeah. That's interesting. Do you guys want to put any final thoughts down? We're down to like the last few minutes of this one.
Get Abbey Road.
Get Abbey Road.
You're welcome.
Go to your local musical store. Buy Abbey Road and Shine Down.
Or listen to it on Apple. Is that on Apple Music?
Yeah.
I've got...
That's what we pulled it up on.
What Beatles whole collection?
Oh, the Beatles is not on Apple Music.
You have to just download it from iTunes?
Yeah.
I have one thing. What are you guys listening to like right now?
Currently?
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones.
If you didn't have to listen to the Rolling Stones, what would you be listening to?
What album am I listening to?
Yeah, just something new, something different.
To be honest with you,
doesn't have to be your favorite.
The one thing that I've been listening to in between Rolling Stone albums, and just it's that Stone Sour EP of covers. Just because I like them. Just because I like the covers that they did, and just because I like how they.
They just put that out? Or?
Came out Record Store Day, so maybe like 2 months ago, a month and a half ago.
Oh, that's cool.
So. That's what I'm going to, and they're putting out two more with more covers, like, so it's going to be like 15 covers total. I think the next one's going to have like Motley Crue and somebody else. But anyways, that's what I've been listening to lately.
I've been listening to a band called You Blew It, which is, when I'm not listening to the Rolling Stones, I've been listening to a lot of that. They have a really cool, EP called You Blew It, but it's the Blue album so it's all Weezer covers from Weezer's Blue album.
Oh, wow.
And so they covered it. It's real fucking cool.
Huh. I was about to make a joke and say, like, what is it, Weezer cover?
All that is.
And that's not even funny anymore. Pull up the song.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of it. So here's... My name is Jonas. If it ever plays. Ah, it's pretty cool.
That seems like a pretty straightforward cover.
Yeah, it is. But I kind of dig it—a different version of that song.
Sounds like the same version with a weaker singer.
Oh, that hurts.
Sorry, Justin.
So, you know, buy You Blew It or don't.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't run into an album of theirs that I didn't like.
No, really?
No.
How many do they have?
It's all fantastic. I think they have like 3 EPs and then like another 3 albums. They put out something like every year.
Of Weezer stuff?
No.
Have You Blew It? Weezer puts out their own album every year or two, so original, they have to keep up.
That original shit, man. This is them normally. You can kind of see why I like them.
Just has a very specific sound.
Yeah. It's kind of junky. So, if you're into that.
Good job.
I don't know. Zach, what are you listening to recently?
Currently, nothing. Kind of in a musical funk right now, where I'm not into.
What a good time to start a music podcast.
I'm not feeling it. I don't want to listen to anything.
No, that's okay.
Be inspired to listen to something new.
Maybe.
Like
You Blew It.
Like You Blew It.
Or just Weezer.
Or just straight up Weezer. They're still putting out stuff. So.
Can do Weezer.
I'm not feeling Weezer. I've been skipping their songs when they come on.
All right. You know what we say on this podcast?
If you want to destroy
my song.